Ministries. I'm putting the trumpet to my mouth, calling for the soldiers of the cross to march around Jericho. I'm calling for a holy war of prayer and preaching of the cross to pull down the strongholds of Satan. For Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is about to come back for his bride, whom he has washed and cleansed and made holy, without spot or wrinkle, by his blood which he shed on the cross for us. You ambassadors of Christ, you soldiers of the cross, you precious diamonds, stand up tall and straight, be counted, be recognized, be identified, and rejoice in the soon coming back of the Lord our God.
I've been transplanted from the kingdom of evil through Jesus, the only atonement for sin. Assured in his promises that he is able to keep me and never let go of my hand. As he hung on the cross, dying for me, redemption was paid for all eternity. His love everlasting is faithful and true. Pardon, forgiveness for me and for you. I've been transplanted from the kingdom of evil through Jesus, the only atonement for sin. Assured in his promises that he is able to keep me and never let go of my hand. Now his presence so sweet draws closer to me as I walk in his will to be more like him. Every day's a love song that my heart sings. I rejoice in each victory that I found in him. I've been transplanted from the kingdom of evil through Jesus, the only atonement for sin. Assured in his promises that he is able to keep me and never let go of my hand. Assured in his promises that he is able to keep me and never let go of my hand. He'll keep me and never let go of my hand.
We are getting closer to the time where we celebrate the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the Jewish nation, they call it the Passover. Here we call it Easter. Well, we understand that Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost. And when he came on the scene 2,000 years ago, he came for one purpose, and that was to take care of the sin problem. The Bible teaches us that he defeated Satan at the cross of Calvary. But the question is, are many Christians in the church world today free from their sin? Do they understand what freedom from sin is? We need to study the Word of God. We need to get the revelation that Christ took care of the sin problem once and for all. All we have to do is turn to him and ask for forgiveness. But when we look at the religion systems of the world, the Christian religious systems, they seem to have buried the cross in the debris of all their doctrines. They don't seem to understand what true Christianity is. There is not much freedom in the world today as far as Christianity is concerned. And I'm talking about personal relationship freedoms. Not being caught in religious ideology. That's what I'm talking about. A person who is not free in Christ Jesus will always look over his shoulder. He will always look at his past and wonder if God really forgave him. And when he does that, that hampers him from doing the Lord's work. And he will never be satisfied with himself as far as his sin is concerned. And that's what puts a damper on the Christian life. When I became a Christian, the Lord God opened my heart to the truth that he took care of my sin problem. And from that time on, I understood that Jesus took care of my sins. So the question that I will ask people today is this: are you free from your sin? When you take communion, can you say with an assured heart that my heart is clean, that I am ready to meet God? If Jesus should come at any moment now, or if he should appear, or if I should die, would I be ready to cross that line? Well, in my heart, I know I'm ready. Why do I know it? It is because not only does the Spirit of God give me joy and peace, but it also lines up with Scripture. So I'm asking you who are listening, your salvation, is it based on the Bible or is it based on religion? Today I will teach on that subject, but before I get into this message, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I come before you in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you will open people's hearts to the truth of Scripture. I thank you, Lord God, that we are in the time we are in, because it seems like that you're on the horizon. You're coming back for a bride that is without spot or wrinkle. I thank you, Lord, that you will open people's hearts and make them a blessing to themselves. I thank you for the grace of God in Jesus' name. Amen. When I teach on the finished work of the cross, where Jesus took care of the sin problem, I expect people to understand that with a changed person, when God changes your heart, people will also change their lifestyles. That's what true Christianity is. And the Bible, I have scriptures today that will show you that. That if a person claims to be born again by the Spirit of God and lives for the devil and comes against some scripture that we see so often in churches today, then there is a problem with that person's conversion. Because how can a person agree with homosexuality? How can a person agree with abortion? How can a person agree with transgender when he says he's born again? Either he has absolutely no idea about Scripture, or there is absolutely no Spirit of God within him. But I believe it's the latter. You're not born again, because once you're born again, the power of the Spirit in you opens your heart to these truths. I once heard a preacher say that we have more revelation than the Apostle Paul when it comes to homosexuality. And I was thinking, the Apostle Paul's revelation was from Leviticus chapter 18. It wasn't that he was preaching something new. He was just showing what Scripture was teaching. So where is your new revelation? Paul didn't have a new revelation. He was preaching Scripture. So here in Hebrews chapter 10 in verse 26, it tells us, "For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversary." So here is where I want to make myself clear. A person who is born again by the Spirit of God will have a changed lifestyle. He will live for God. But it says here, if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin. And if we're honest, we understand, even as the most devout Christian, we will sin. And we will sin willfully with our hearts, with our minds, and we will with our actions sin. It's the nature of a person. Until we are taken from this world, we will still have sin in our lives. But it says here, if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin. What does that scripture mean? It simply means this. Once you know about the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you understand it fully from the Holy Spirit has opened your heart and your mind, and you reject it, that's willfully sinning against the Holy Spirit. Then it says, there is a looking forward to a fiery indignation which shall devour the adversary. So this is how this scripture works. It's not talking about you falling into sin even willfully. In Hebrews chapter 10 in verse 28, it very clearly describes what this former scripture meant. It tells us, "He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose you, shall he be brought by a thought worthy who has trodden underfoot the Son of God, but has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace." I want you to pay attention to this scripture here. It says, "He that despises Moses' law died without mercy." It doesn't say he that broke Moses' law. It says he that despises Moses' law. There is a big difference in despising the law of Moses and or breaking the law of Moses. He that despised it and said he doesn't want nothing to do with it, he was destroyed from amongst the people. But he that broke Moses' law, there was a sacrifice for him. What is Moses' law? You read the Ten Commandments. You read Leviticus chapter 18. If you despise the law there, then you are going to have to spend your eternity in the eternal lake of fire. It is the same thing with the blood of Jesus. If you despise the sacrifice of the cross, then you will be separated from God. You will have to face fiery indignation. But if you fall into sin, that's a big difference. That's where the blood of Jesus kicks in and takes care of the sin problem. Do we see the difference here? Despising Moses' law, rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. If you reject Jesus, you are in for fiery indignation. If you despise Moses' law, you were killed without mercy. Breaking Moses' law, there was a sacrifice available. Falling into sin, the blood of Jesus Christ covers that. That's where we should see the difference. I will give you another good one that has been an argument by Christians throughout the ages. In Hebrews chapter 6 in verse 4, it tells us, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gifts and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they should fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they have crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame." I want to explain this scripture here. It says it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. What does that mean? Once Jesus, once the Holy Spirit opens your heart and your mind and your eyes to the way of salvation, you see it, you taste it, you understand it, and you reject it. It's useless to pray for you because you understand and know the truth and you don't want nothing to do with it. The King James Bible is very clear on this. It is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift. It doesn't say they have ate it. It says they have tasted it. If you taste something, what do you do with it? If you don't like it, you spit it out. And once you spit it out, that means you don't want nothing to do with it. This is the same thing here. If a person has tasted of the way of salvation, he understands it, and he spits it out of his mouth, it's useless to pray for you because you have decided you do not like the taste of salvation. This is what the scripture means in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 4. It's the same scripture as in Hebrews chapter 10. So we need to understand these things. God wants to enlighten us. He wants to show us that we're free from sin. But if we reject the way of salvation, then sin lies at our door. We will have to spend eternity separated from God in the eternal lake of fire. And let me tell you, that's not going to be a picnic according to scripture, because it says the smoke of their torment shall arise forever and ever and ever. We need to pay attention to that. Just because preachers don't teach on the eternal lake of fire means it has disappeared. It's still in the Bible. It's still going to be in many people's future. The eternal lake of fire is nothing to make fun of. There, it's no joke. It's a terrible, terrible place for eternity for the Christ rejectors. So we need to open our hearts to that. God is not mocked whatsoever. A man sows, that will he also reap. If we have this awesome grace, should we walk in holiness? Should we live a godly life? I personally believe any person who is born again by the Spirit of God should live a godly life. If he doesn't, there's something wrong. I know sometimes people get hurt. They get hurt by their pastor or by their church, or they think they got hurt and will rebel for a time and a season. But if they're truly born again, they will be brought back into the fold. Because when Jesus lost one sheep, he went after it and he looked for it till he found it and brought it back to the fold. That's how our Lord Jesus Christ is. So we need to open our hearts to these interesting truths, because many, many people today don't seem to understand the truth of salvation. They don't seem to understand the grace that God is extending to them. Instead, they try to figure it out from themselves, from their religious ideas and ways. God wants you to see that He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by Him. So open your heart to these incredible scriptures and become a blessing to yourself. Amen.
We did our best to keep the law with all the do's and don'ts. Tradition held since who knows when became our cornerstone. The clothes we wore so modestly and the many songs we sang. We hoped and prayed that God was pleased with the things we did for Him. But in chapter 6, the book of John, the Holy Word explains the works of God that we must do that is pleasing unto Him. Believe in Him whom He has sent. Jesus said to them, come to me, the bread of life, and never thirst again. Jesus is the answer my heart's been looking for. In the pages of His holy word I'd never seen before. My heart now sees what He did for me when He died on Calvary. My faith, I believe, my sins He forgave. Now heaven's my guarantee. Don't ignore the pleading sound knocking on the door. He's the one, the only one that can satisfy your soul. Choices that you make. 'Cause I have found the answer my heart's been looking for. In the pages of His holy word I've never seen before. My heart now sees what He did for me when He died on Calvary. By faith I believe my sins He forgave. Now heaven's my guarantee. 'Cause Jesus is the
over the years, I have taught about the grace of God. I firmly believe if a person is born again by the Spirit of God, if he's sealed onto it to the day of redemption, if he is a purchased possession, he then is saved forever. He cannot ever leave God again. Because God has purchased him, he then becomes a new creation. But sometimes you get a question like this. Then I can do whatever I want. I can go out and sin and live for the devil. I'm still saved. No, if that's your answer to a very beautiful explanation of salvation, I have a scripture for you that will make you to think, I hope. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. So it says, once you become born again, once you're a Christian, you should henceforth walk not as the Gentiles walk. The Gentiles are ignorant, they're in the blindness of their heart, and they do what they naturally are supposed to do. They live in sin because that's their nature. But we have a changed heart, if so be that you have a changed heart. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 20, it tells us, But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Christ. So after he explains, we should not walk in the way the Gentiles walk, and if we do, then the Bible will ask you a question. If you live like that, you have not learned Christ. Maybe you haven't heard from him. That is very, very interesting what that scripture is saying. It's saying if there is somebody who names the name of Christ and lives for the world, then maybe he has not heard from Jesus at all. He is fooling himself. He maybe has been deceived into thinking that he is a Christian. So this is what the Bible explains very simply. If you have an attitude that you can now go and do whatever you want because you're saved, then there's something wrong with your salvation. In 1 John chapter 1 in verse 6, it tells us, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not know the truth. Very straightforward. If we say we're born again and walk in darkness, then we are liars. That's what the Bible teaches. And then there's one more scripture, and this one I want to explain clearly here. Let's say there is somebody who knows the Lord, and he claims to be a Christian, and he's lived a Christian life for a long time. Then all at once he decides he does not want to do anything to do with Christ anymore. I myself have never heard of a person like that. I myself have never seen a person who loved the Lord and then walked away from him totally. They may come up with some strange ideas. They may come up with strange doctrines. But I have never heard of anybody walking away from Christ. Usually somebody will say they know somebody who knows somebody. But that's as far as it goes. But I myself have never heard of anybody walking away from Christ once they proclaim to be Christians. But here is what happens if somebody would do that. In 1 John chapter 2 in verse 19, it tells us, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. So here it says, if they would have been born again, they would have no doubt continued with us. But they went out from us because it proves that they never really were born again by the Spirit of God. So we need to open our eyes to these things. We need to see Scripture as Scriptures are written. So open your heart and become a blessing to yourself. Amen.
Here at Reaching Out Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. You can also reach us online at reachingoutministries.com. That's reachingoutministries.com. You are my strength when I